A Christian friend of mine once was walking in his neighborhood. He heard loud music coming from one of the houses down the street. Out of curiosity, he headed in that direction. And as he arrived at the house where the music came from, he noticed that the gate was wide open. As a matter of fact, there were several spectators. They all peeked into the house to watch what was going on. My friend joined the crowd. Inside the house, a shaman. Do you know what shaman is? How many of you know what shaman is? Shaman is not really a familiar concept to American folks. But this thing happened in Korea, so I am very familiar with what they do and who they are. Before I became a Christian and before my family all, you know, became Christians, my mom used to bring a shaman to my family, especially whenever my father got ill for whatever reasons. Then the shaman is supposed to, they claim that they have a connection with the spirits, okay? And they could make any individual better by appeasing the spirits and so on. So you can call this spiritual medium. Anyway, this shaman, typically a woman, they were doing, and she was doing her rituals in that particular house, dancing to the drums. I still remember when I was young, a shaman doing these rituals, you know, all dressed up in their own costume and holding two swords, it's very long swords, you know, and dancing to the drums. It's quite a show. Anyway, that was going on in this family as well. Now, typically when this kind of thing going on, two things possible. Either the family would ask for blessings on the house or casting out an evil spirit that somehow made someone in the family sick. So my family, Christian, the friend, actually my friend, never witnessed this kind of thing before. So he stood there for a while, watching. And then all of a sudden, the dance stopped, along with the music. Everyone was wondering, what happened? What's next? A couple of minutes later, the father of the house came out. And he asked if there was any Christian among the spectators. No one except my friend raised his hand. And then the owner begged him to leave the premises so that they could go on with the rituals. My friend was curious and he asked, why? Why just me? And the explanation was that in the middle of the rituals, the shaman noticed the nearby presence of a spirit that was far greater than those spirits she was trying to appease. And furthermore, the presence of that greater spirit prevented her from going on with her dance. She couldn't do any more. So she had to stop and ask the father of the house if there was any Christian in the family. When the owner said no, and the shaman asked him to go outside and inquire of the bystanders. That's how the owner came out to my friend. Anyway, as my friend left the place, he realized for the first time in his life that he indeed carried in him a spirit that is far greater than his own and far greater than any other spirits. We call the Spirit of God, known to us as the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read the gospel stories, you'll see that same thing happened to Jesus, our Lord. Whenever the evil spirits saw Jesus approach them, they all cried out, acknowledging who Jesus was. Jesus, you are the Son of the Most High. You're the Holy One of God. Why are you here before time? They all acknowledged. They knew who Jesus was long before then people did. When people failed to see Jesus, who Jesus was, all the spirits in the spiritual world already knew right away and recognized the Spirit in Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You see, in the spiritual world, the spirits all know that there is a greater spirit than they, and they also know that that greater spirit lives in each and every one of us. Now, please say after me. I'm going to repeat twice, okay? And you can forget all the rest of my sermon this morning, but please do not forget that which we are just about to say. Say after me. The Holy Spirit is in me. Let's do one more time. The Holy Spirit is in me.
The Holy Spirit is in me.
Okay. Now, how many of you actually knew this truth before you heard me saying it this morning? Okay. Let me tell you, majority of us don't. Really? Where is he? That's the question, right? Now, that leads us to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I invite you to turn to your bulletin where the scripture is printed. And let's read it together in one voice. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are the temple. Let me unpack this verse sentence by sentence here. It is Paul, by the way, the apostle, who wrote this letter to the Corinthian Christians 2,000 years ago, and he began this sentence, "Do you not know?" Literal translation would be, "You sure know, don't you?" The Greek grammar used here, the writer expecting an affirmative answer from the readers. In other words, the Corinthians were supposed to say, "Yes, we sure do." I think if we ask the same question, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" The same question is very relevant to today's Christians. May I ask, you sure know about this, don't you? And a lot of us say, "I'm not sure." Really? Do I have that? Let me tell you this. This is one of the greatest spiritual tragedies among the believers today. The ignorance of the presence of God's Spirit in us. It's a sure reflection of the spiritual climate in the American church too. The Bible says that God is with us through His Spirit in our hearts. Yet, lots of believers are simply ignorant of this spiritual truth, and we claim and we believe that God is with us. We love that phrase, don't we? God is with us, Emmanuel. But we don't know how God is with us. Sometimes we believe that God is with us both mysteriously and supernaturally, but never believe that God is indeed with us in our hearts, in our bodies, through His Spirit. I got to tell you something about the ignorance of God's truth here. It is never God's will for you and me to stay ignorant of God's truth, especially on God's resources that are available to us, such as His Spirit. As I said, in the next 5 weeks, I'm going to talk about what resources God has provided to us so that we could use them. You see, I believe our poor experience of God results from the ignorance of God's resources in us, begin with the Holy Spirit. Seldom we do tap into those resources. That's the trouble. And no wonder, if you think of your own walk and journey with God, sometimes it's very dry and boring, and you almost give up. Why do I bother go to church on Sunday morning? Right? Now listen to what Jesus says in John 14:21. He says, I quote, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me." I can safely say then that those who do not keep God, Jesus' commandments do not love Him. Are you following me? How can we? The next step I'm following is that how can we love Jesus when we do not even know what His commandments are and what He wants us to do? I think the ignorance of God's word is equal to not loving Him. Let me go back to the verse today. Paul says, you sure know that, don't you? That you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you. Think with me for a while. What is the temple of God? It is the place where God dwells, right? Not physically, but spiritually, because God doesn't have a physical body like you and I do. He is a spirit. God's temple is the place where we also come and worship. It's the place where we offer our prayers to God. And even Jesus says that God's temple should be the house of prayer. The list goes on. Paul the apostle here calls your body and mind, what? The temple of God, where God dwells. As God dwells in His temple through His Spirit, so does He in our body through His Spirit. There was a gentleman who had struggled with his smoking habit. He wanted to quit. He tried several times, but he just couldn't stop. So he went to his pastor one day. Pastor, you know that I smoke. You know, I don't like it, but you know, I have to. It's addiction. And can you help me? And the pastor thought for a while, and he says, you know, it's a really powerful thing, isn't it? Sometimes overwhelming to try to quit smoking. And see if this story would help you. And the pastor goes on. He says, do you know that the Bible says your body is temple of God, God's temple? The gentleman says, yes, maybe. And that's, I never heard of it, but yes. And the pastor says, imagine this. You come into God's sanctuary, like a sanctuary we have here. When you stand in the middle of the sanctuary, sit in the middle of the sanctuary, you wouldn't light up, would you? The gentleman said, oh, I know better than that, Pastor. I do smoke as well. You know, not in the middle of the sanctuary. And the pastor says, well, wouldn't it be the same way? If your body is God's temple, you'd not smoke in your body. Put the smoke in your body. And the gentleman got the idea. That, I never think that way, but it sure makes sense. And the happy ending story is that the man was able to quit because of this new understanding what his body is all about. Temple of God. Let's be very clear on the understanding of our body, folks. Our body, your body and mine, is no longer ours, but God's. I mean, people use, they love to use the phrase, this is my life, this is my body, whatever I want to do, I do. But really, the Bible says, it's not yours, but God's. Our body belongs to God, not to us. God is the owner, we are the stewards. Therefore, our responsibility is to take good care of our body. After all, that's God's temple. And God will hold us accountable. Let me move on. How do you know that God is with us in our hearts through the Holy Spirit? And let me tell you another story of a farmer's wife who happened to have this fundamentally important theological question. She says, one time she had this question, how can there is one God and one Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, how can one Spirit of God dwell in millions of lives, millions of Christians' hearts? How can it be possible? So she went to her pastor. Pastor, I have a question. And pastor says, go ahead. And she says, exactly what you hear. One God, one Spirit, how can it be in so many different millions of lives and millions of hearts at the same time? Explain. Well, the pastor could have, you know, led her into 1 hour long theological debate or discussion, right? But she thought it was too much. So what he did is that he was thinking of the illustration. Maybe this will help you. Remember, this is farmer's wife, and again, happened to be in Korea, where the main staple is rice. How many of you actually saw where the rice grows? Some of us believe that rice grows out of tree. Raise your hand. Like apples. Not really. You gotta have paddies. They call it paddies, rice paddies. And it's a field, filled with water. You have to have water all the time. If you have no water, then rice dies. You know, then you never have a harvest. Anyway, the farmer's wife knows all these rice grow where though. So the pastor says, sister, you know, do you like the moon? And everyone loves to look at the full moon in the sky. She says, yes, I do. Have you ever been out there in the full moon? And she said, yes, I have been many a time. And the pastor says, have you looked at the reflection of the moon on the water, surface of the water in your paddies? And she said, yes, I have. It's even beautiful, more beautiful than the moon itself at times. And the pastor continues, have you looked at your neighbor's paddies, also filled with water? Did you see that there is another reflection of the moon? And the sister says, yes, yes. And have you looked at another neighbor's rice paddies also filled with water and there's a reflection of the moon? And the sister said, yes. And all of a sudden she got it. Oh yes, there is only one moon in the sky, but there are so many reflections on the surface of the water. So if you think that rice paddies, each one, each person in the hearts, the Holy Spirit dwells in their hearts as well. Again, not perfect, but good enough for us to understand how God's Spirit dwells in our heart. And that leads us into the second verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Once again, I invite you to read with me. Again, same letter, same author. Paul's talking about the same topic of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Do you see what I see here when he says, we, the Christians, have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God? I see here a spiritual dichotomy of two spirits. God's Spirit versus the Spirit of the world. God's Spirit who dwells and works among His children, the Spirit of the world dwells and works among the non-believers. We the believers, Paul says, receive the Spirit of the world. Notice here the tense of the verb. We have received, not we will receive, but we already received the Holy Spirit. We have Holy Spirit in us. Yet a lot of us remain ignorant of this fact again and truth that we live our Christian life without the aid of the Holy Spirit. Any Christian who walks life's journey without the help of the Holy Spirit is like a spiritual orphan to God. I'm using the right word. Orphans who are left alone without the parental love and protection, and they become often a target of mockery and harassments by the bullies. Naturally, that's exactly what our enemy Satan, the spirit of the world, tries to do against us. His age-old strategy against God's children is what? To keep them ignorant of God's truth. And second strategy, harass them like orphans because they don't know whose father their father is. They don't use the God's resources at all. So by not getting into, you know, remember last week, last month, I challenged the congregation to get into the Word of God. And thank God, several individuals came to me and said, I took up the challenge and I started reading it. That's when Jim McShay comes in. I mentioned his name at the first service. Jim told me the other day he was going through Leviticus. It was a tough book to go through. But I hope by now you're out of the Leviticus. Yeah. You are. That's good.
And I know all the Jewish laws.
That's, okay. You see, us not getting into the Word of God and therefore remaining in ignorance of God's truth, what do? We are doing a great favor to our adversary, our enemy Satan, and doing a great disservice to ourselves. Furthermore, it is far easier for our enemy Satan to harass those folks who are ignorant of God's truth than those who are in the Word of God. Now, this is what Jesus says when it comes down to spiritual, you know, orphan. Before he left this earth, the night before he was crucified, this is what he promised to his disciples. He knew that the time was close, near. So he said, I would not leave you orphaned. Rather, he says, I will send a helper and comforter. This is what he said, John 14, 18 and 25. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. In John 15, 26, he says the same thing. When the advocate, Holy Spirit, advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You know what you have now? The Holy Spirit, the advocate, with you. Think of the reason why the Lord provides us, you know, with the Holy Spirit, so that, the scripture continues, we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. So that you and I understand what God has freely given us. A few examples such as eternal life, such as salvation, such as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, all these free gifts of God available to us, for us to understand and utilize them, we need the Holy Spirit. That's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. Now, as we're closing, let us not forget that we have great resources from God for us to use. Beginning with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of just interesting. I shouldn't use the word use the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit, God's resource is available to us. God never leaves us orphaned. He is not far from us and he is within us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper, teacher, advocate, and truth teller and comforter. I believe it is time that we all turn to the Spirit of God for wisdom and guidance and courage. I hope sometime later, not right away, I will have more time to talk about what the Holy Spirit does for us. Let's bow our heads and pray.